Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I've been reading all the work.
And welcome to Put That Coffee Down, the Freight Sales Show for Closers. My name's Kevin Hill. I am your host, as always. A very cool episode today with Matt Perkins. He's co-owner over at Business to Business Logistics in Knoxville. We're going to talk about how not to vomit out all your words. You know, the gift of gab is something that is attached with salespeople in, I think, a somewhat stereotypical way. And the importance of listening, right? Being a great listener. I'm going to get to that in just a second. If you haven't caught the Freight Tech episode from last week, please do that. And if we want to throw up the slate, we can throw up the slate at any time on those nominations. I spoke with our very own senior researcher here at FreightWaves, Joe Antoshak. He kind of runs in charge of the nomination process and the voting process. But we talked about our tips and tricks for nominators to nominate a company. So if you're nominating your own company or nominating one of your favorite tech providers, there's some additional questions this year, as well as being concrete and concise is always important. And we discuss all of those insider tips of how to really create a perfect nomination. So quality over quantity. So if you haven't checked out that episode, please go back. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on tv.freightwaves.com and the podcast version, as always, wherever you download your podcast on either the Put That Coffee Down channel or Freightcast. So go check that out. But this week, we're going to talk about sales presentations and being an active listener. All of those great things. And I go back to, and I'm sure Matt has, I'll ask him about it when I bring him on in just a second, but I'm sure he's read this book. We all kind of have. It's How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It's a classic, and here are six tips to do that. And I think this is going to weave right into the conversation in a very seamless way. Number one, become genuinely interested in other people. Genuinely interested in other people. Number two is smile. No one dislikes a smile. Smile just makes everyone at ease in the room. If you're not in the same room, if you're just over the phone, motion creates emotion, and smiling, kind of that nonverbal cue of the tone of voice it has once you're smiling, can be picked up and will always be picked up by the person on that other end of the line. Number three, remember that a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. So talk about what the other person wants to talk about. Say their name. Treat them like you'd want to be treated, right? Be a good listener. This is very important. It's very hard to do. We're going to talk about this. It takes a lot of practice to be a good listener, but once you're a good listener, man, it makes everything easier. Number five, talk in terms of the other person's interests. And that is very important for a sales call, right? You can't just walk in and talk about everything you want to talk about, all of your great features and benefits. Got to talk about the other person's interests and weave what you have into that. Number six, and finally, make the other person feel important and do it sincerely. That's always hard sometimes. Or it's sometimes hard, right? To sincerely make the other person feel important. But it's a tip of the trade. I mean, like six ways to make people like you, how to win friends and influence people was published, I believe, in the 1930s. And earlier versions of this line of thought goes back to ancient times. So while technology changes, civilization changes, humans really don't change over time. It's fundamental. And with that, let's bring on Matt to talk about a little bit more about the art of sales presentation. Matt, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic, Kevin. Great seeing you again. I like the glasses.
Well, thank you very much. I picked up these a few months ago, and now I can finally see, which is always important.
It's a good look and functional.
And functional. It is. So what do you think about the six tips from Dale Carnegie? I'm sure you've read that book. I think you're a big Dale Carnegie fan, if I remember correctly.
Oh, so Dirty Little Secret. I haven't read the book yet. But I need to add it. However, I live and breathe those six techniques already. So when you rattled them off while I was in the green room there, I realized that I already do those things. So, you know, especially number one, a genuine interest. If you can't have a genuine interest in the person you're talking to, they're going to feel like a number. They're going to feel like you call them off of a list and they're not going to give you the time of the day. So I can't stress that one enough, that you have to have a genuine interest if you're going to be successful in sales.
Yeah, and that kind of goes with number six too, right? It's book ended there. You know, you have to have a general interest in other people, and then you have to make the other person feel important and do it sincerely. So you can't have one without the other. You can't have six without one. And correct. You have to be genuinely interested to have that be sincere. And oftentimes salespeople, especially in the prospecting game, it's just a number. That person's just a number. On the other, they're called number 36, right? And it's tough to gain any traction with that mentality.
No doubt. And while internally on your end, it might be called number 36, you can quickly and easily tailor that phone call to them. And that's something that I encourage everybody. If I'm talking to somebody who's just trying to learn more about our company, and I'm talking about other brokers, if they're trying to learn about our agent program or anything, and they're looking for sales techniques, I was just talking to some young guys yesterday, and I said, don't spread yourself too thin. And when you research a company, spend a few minutes researching it, but tailor your language. I mean, I think a wise man once said, niches get riches, right? And
I think they did. Yes.
Yeah. Very wise man. Wears nice glasses. And what it's so realistic. I mean, even in my company right now, our most successful salesperson right now is in a niche. He does over dimensional and he's crushing it right now. And I've even encouraged him to stop deviating to dry van freight and LTL. I told him, pass it off to somebody else. Just work on what you do. It's expedited, it's overdimensional, and he's been killing it lately. So
that, you know, yeah, that's important. There is, don't get distracted on the things that you're not good at and stay focused on what you're good at, what you're expert about, what you can talk about. And I say talk about, but you can listen about. You can actually solve problems, and solving problems starts with listening to what it is and then advising.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the thing that I've been noticing a lot, even internally, that I've been kind of coaching on, is everyone's quick to call. Because we all know we're in a soft market right now, right? There's a lot of trucks. Mm-hmm. Freight movement has slowed down. While it's not like a depression or deep recession, it's still slower than what it has been, just as you guys have reported, right? COVID buying is diminished, if not vanished completely. Everything's kind of back to normal, but normal now feels sluggish because of the brutality we went through in 21 and 22. But here we are, and I've got everybody on the phone just kind of vomiting all the stuff that we do, because we have been around for a while. We do have a diverse portfolio of offerings, but that doesn't mean any, you know, just because we offer every mode of transport under the sun does not mean the customer wants to hear it. So getting an idea of what they might want to hear, might want to do, is going to get their interest a lot quicker.
It is. I've been talking about this a little bit recently, is starting off those calls with finding out how their business is going, how it operates. I let them be the experts to begin with, to become an, you know, and that's where you listen, right? You listen at their expertise about their industry, their business, how well they're doing in their supply chain or how well they're not doing, whatever that may be. And then talking about transportation at the back end of that, you know, how you can tailor what you have to offer. And it could be, it should only be one or two things, right? To match whatever problems they're having, not everything under the sun that you can do. And that's, you know, there's famously spin selling, consultative selling, but this is what you have to do. And that's how you active listen. And it takes a lot of practice to active listen.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, they always say that you're given 2 years and one mouth for a reason, right? You know, you should be listening twice as much. And, or just understanding your customer. So, I mean, I'll give a great example of a call I just had. It's a food manufacturer and, you know, he starts off the call saying, well, what can you do different than what I've got going on? I said, well, I can sit here and tell you that I do truckload and LTL, but that's what every other phone call is doing. And I don't even know where you're at in your RFP process because you're big enough to have one. So let's talk about weird stuff. Let's talk about, you know, expedited straight trucks. Let's talk about projects. You are a food manufacturer. You might be revamping a line. You might be adding a line. Well, if you've got over-dimensional items, silos, things like that, that's my yard. You know, I can handle that. And immediately I became an expert on over-dimensional and straight trucks. And he perked up. He's like, well, yeah, our RFP just started 3 months ago and I can't get you in. He's like, but we're not too good at finding straight trucks. So let's talk. And here I am. So I'll get my foot in the door through straight trucks and maybe a project that they've got one on the agenda, but then I'll prove myself. And then next RFP, which will be Q1, they'll slide me in and I'll be able to bid on that.
I think it's having that comfort level too, as you described, is going off script, off the normal, your normal sales script and talking about weird things, talking about whatever. Just to keep someone engaged in the conversation and letting them somewhat control the conversation, right? Can control what they want to talk about because it goes back to, you know, people like to talk about themselves. So let the prospect or customer, whoever you're on the phone with, potential buyer, right, to talk about what they want and then pick your opportunities out of there. And you never know what part of the conversation some aha moment's going to hit. And it's like, okay, I this is where I need to be.
Yeah. And that's absolutely, and that's why you listen, because they will give you the answer.
Yeah.
You just have to listen to it. I mean, while I didn't create this term, I'm going to take ownership of it, but I've been doing this for the last 20 years. It's called the spider web sale. And basically I had a large customer, and let's be realistic, for the majority of freight that moves, the shipper or the receiver might be your customer. But generally speaking, the shipper and receiver are generally not your customer. So therefore, your shipper or your receiver for every single load you move is a potential customer. So one day I called my same person to schedule a delivery with, and she is not my customer. She is just the receiving location routinely for my customer's freight. She just sounded frustrated. So I just sat down and listened to her. I let her vent. And she's like, oh, I'm so mad. I can't find a truck to ship one of my loads. The broker's falling through on me. And I just simply said, hey, can I take a crack at it? She said, sure. She goes, you find me a truck, you get a load. And I found a truck within 10 minutes, got the load. And she's been a longstanding customer for 20 years. Everywhere she goes, she takes me with. And that is just from listening, from hearing the frustration. I talk to her every day. But that day, she sounded not so chipper. She sounded frustrated. And maybe it's personal. Maybe one of her kids made her angry on her way to work, but I would have been there to listen. But instead, it was a freight opportunity, and I've capitalized on it since.
Yeah, I mean, and that's very true, especially in transportation. If you talk to 20 people a day, 50 people a day, there's going to be a vast majority of those that, or a high number of those that are going to be frustrated in some way, right? I mean, it's just the nature of the business, right? And letting them vent is a good way to get your foot in the door.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just being there and sounding like you know, care is going to go a lot further than just, hey, I need to schedule that delivery. Hey, sorry, hope you have a better day. See you later.
It really is. There's a couple other things, like curse of knowledge. I think the curse of knowledge plays a part in this. you live and breathe. We all do transportation each day, and we think that's most important thing in everyone's lives, right? And everyone we talk to, where it's not necessarily the case. And certainly the person you're on the phone with might not know as much as you do, and being able to articulate that in a way that's engaging is sometimes hard.
Yeah. I mean, the thing to keep in mind when you're talking to some of your contacts is that their job may not be solely transportation, and their history may not be transportation. So it's on us to educate in not a demeaning way, you know, but to be that extension of them, help them look good, come through for them, and then maybe explain the why. It's actually a book I'm reading right now. It is Start with the Why. And that's super important. When you explain the why to them, then they get it. We build more trust with you.
Yep. Simon Sinek, great book. Great book.
Oh, absolutely.
Go out and read it if you haven't right now. It's good. And I think a lot of salespeople, going off that, is a fear of not knowing what to say, not knowing how to respond. So if you listen too much, you might be posed with a question or a scenario that you're really don't know too much about. And that fear keeps you talking and trying to dominate the conversation by talking. But we all know that the person who controls the conversation is the one who's asking questions.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. As long as they're open-ended questions too. Yes. Yeah. Closed-ended questions. You're going to find a dead end real fast.
Yeah, you will. Yes. But as long as they're open-ending, curious questions, sincere questions, you're not dominate the conversation. You're going to control the conversation. And by doing that, you're going to find out where those opportunities lie, which I keep going back to it. It's a much better way to present solutions than coming out and vomiting those solutions all over the place and not letting the other person talk at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as asking the pain points. You know, you may not have the solution to offer. I didn't know, you know, off the top of my head, that offering the straight trucks to the food manufacturer was the way to go. But I know that this food is manufactured here in the U.S., so offering drayage was probably off the table. And again, going back to, I had no idea where they were at in their RFP process. So I threw out there, I do truckload LTL, but I kind of joked about it because who doesn't? So I decided to go down the straight truck market because it has worked. Now, it may not have worked for me because I went into it a little blind. But generally speaking, ask some questions. If you don't have your answer, you don't have your pitch yet, you can kick that can down the road intelligently by asking the question. And they'll bring you the answer. I mean, I've listened to phone calls with my sales reps where the answer is sitting right there. It's low branch on the tree. That fruit is right there. Just grab it and then go with that.
Yeah, I think the all salespeople should practice every day active listening through this method of going in a little bit blind. And I will say that, you know, being on live TV for over 4 years now. I mean, it's my listening skills have expanded dramatically, because in the beginning, you want everything scripted. You know, if I did a podcast with you, Matt, I'd have 20 questions listed and a fear of not hitting all 20. And, you know, just because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't stumped, that I always had something to say. But the more you listen, there's a lot of things to talk about just by listening and responding. You get more comfortable with it. And all of a sudden, you just maybe have 3 points. And I think a lot of salespeople, they want that they go to a call, they want to do everything of this. So they want to make sure they get that out into the conversation, where you just need 1 or 2 points. 1 or 2 points, that's all anyone's going to remember anyway. And they're likely going to be the 1 or 2 most important points. And then you can concentrate on listening and not worry about having to get out this whole spiel of what you do.
Oh, yeah. You know, I just witnessed a carrier sales rep at a company. And while he may have had a script per se, he really just had some notes on his computer screen. And he let the carrier talk. And he was understanding what they had, what they were working with, where they wanted to go, you know, maybe what they wanted to be rate-wise. And he would just fill in the blanks so that he knew he was crossing his T's. and that he was getting his questions answered, but he wasn't asking them in a robotic fashion, in a scripted fashion. He listened. And then he realized he had all of his questions answered, and he was prepared to then go to the closing stage of that sale. And it sounded fluid. It sounded genuine. And it was a really good phone call, in my opinion. Yet he was able to qualify the carrier without just one after another question, as if he wasn't listening. He was just was on his agenda. And when you sound like you're on an agenda, they're not going to care.
Yeah. I mean, because if you sound like you're off a script, then what's the point, right? But you can have your own script and have it so naturally that no one ever realizes that it is a script.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing to convey too, especially all to the newer brokers that listen to the show, right? Is you still need to cover your bases. You still need to have a script, right? But when you listen, those answers will fill themselves in so much quicker, and it will be a fluid discussion at the end of the day. And then if there is that one question missing, you know what you need to ask to kind of fulfill that, you know, need to make sure that you're quoting something accurately, or that you're about to take ownership of, you know, of moving a load, and you've got all the facts so that you can properly sell it to the carriers.
There is a key difference between a conversation and an interrogation.
Yes, absolutely.
We all know what that is. And sometimes it feels like interrogation. Some, you know, salespeople, right? It's an interrogation, not a conversation. And no one's comfortable being interrogated.
No. Not that I have.
So Matt, let's talk about business logistics, your agent program. I know you've been doing that. You've kind of been full force on that for well over a year now. What are you seeing out there in that market?
So as far as the agent market, you know, the agent market's kind of staying put. With the market being a little soft, there are, you know, what I'm seeing as a whole, the good agents are staying put because they just don't know what's going on. Volatility is very high right now. There's a reality that they move and their business doesn't move with them. I've seen that happen before where customers will not onboard them, even though it's the same broker with a different MC number. They say, no thanks. I'm seeing a lot of newer brokers offering an agent program that they can't really financially fund. It does take a lot to fund an agent program because you as the broker house are the last one to get paid, but your agents are getting paid well before you are. Carriers are being paid well before you are, and you still have to wait for the money. So there's just a lot of people out there trying to capitalize on this agent mentality, but they're not prepared to offer what it takes.
The working capital of having an agency program is, I can just imagine. I mean, if you have five agents with good books of business, I mean, it takes a lot of working capital to make those cash flows meet up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you look at it, the agents are being paid the week the invoice runs, right? The good brokers out there that have an agent program and all the big names that we all know that have agent programs, they're paying their agents the week of invoice. So that could be pretty substantial. The carriers are afterwards, either they're doing quick pays, which are within the same week, or they're doing standard terms, which can be anywhere from 15 to, we'll say, 25 days. But the customers, you know, they're coming in at, I'd say, maybe a net 45.
Mm-hmm. A lot of float.
Well, a lot of float, too, because...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to say, so...
A lot of float.
When you look at an employer model, you know, you've got 100% of the profits. And then when you look at an agent model, your standard splits are 70-30. And... Mm-hmm. So you are working with 30% of the margin at the end of the day. So that's a huge float to go.
It really is. Matt, thanks for dropping by, talking about sales techniques with us today on Put That Coffee Down. If our audience has any questions or wants to learn more about it, what's the best way to reach you?
You know, just come to me directly. mperkins@shipbtb.com. Check out the website. Easy to get in contact with me. I'm on LinkedIn primarily. So there's a Facebook page, but I'd say LinkedIn, my personal page, is the best way.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thanks again.
Devin, thanks as always. Great seeing you.
Great seeing you too. And that's Matt Perkins, co-owner at Business to Business Logistics over there in Knoxville, Tennessee. I have a couple audio-only episodes that are out right now. One on cross-border freight with IGL Logistics. Great guys over there. And then last week, sat down and talked about customer churn with the guys from Freight 360, Nate Cross and Benjamin Kowalski. Great listen on both of those. But until next week, let's put that coffee down, go out, make some sales, some margin.
I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expensive, cause winning's expensive. I got expensive, cause winning's expensive.
I've been getting out of work, and I've been shutting down the stars.